I'm Jamie Gennaro, and this is Business for Humans. Let's talk about taking your business to a new level without the suits and without being a robot. Here, you can be yourself, you can be imperfect, you can be flawed, and you can still have raging success. So let's go. Welcome, everybody, to another episode. This is Business for Humans. I'm Jamie Gennaro, and I am very excited today to have, oh, here we go, last names, Lisa College. Is that right? Okay. It's so funny how I just never pronounce clients' last names until we're in this situation. So
why would you?
So Lisa College is here. Lisa and I have been working together for 3 months. We started on the process of launching her business. So getting to that moment where she felt like she knew what she wanted to do. She had some ideas of what she wanted to do. We honed that in. We worked together for 3 months to put together the offer she wants to bring to the world. And now we're going to go into our second 3 months and getting that offer out and securing her first clients, which is so amazing. It's been really great working with you, Lisa. I love it. I'm so happy that we're continuing. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about who you are and your background?
All right. I'm Lisa College, as you so beautifully said. I'm British, as you can probably hear. I'm a proud Yorkshire lass at heart, although I've lived in the Netherlands since the end of 2001. When I was thinking back, it's like, it's so long ago that the guilder was still the currency here when I moved.
Wow.
It took a couple of months for it to turn to the euro. I live in Amstelveen, which is just outside of Amsterdam. And when I was preparing for this podcast, I decided that I was going to be brave at the outset, and I'm going to use these descriptions of myself, which is one of the things that you and I worked on. Me being able to use without feeling like an imposter. So here we go. These are the big descriptions, the big labels. I am an entrepreneur. I am a badass CEO. I am a thought leader. I'm an educator, and I am a change maker. Okay, I didn't go up in smoke. This is love.
This is great. All true.
Yes, all true. At least in my heart, even if not in reality yet. So my background, I've worked for the last 20 plus years at a large corporate company. And for most of the time that I was there, I had a real blast. Actually, like 75% of the time I was there, I had an absolutely amazing time. I've done all kinds of stuff, like including starting up a new business venture in like a startup environment within the large corporate. That was great fun. Develop new strategic competencies. I've been a thought leader in that company as well, and presented at conferences and collaborated with customers and with influencers all over the world, traveled all over the place. And it was a fantastic opportunity and great to be able to build up all of those skills and experiences, really. In the last few years, my focus has changed, not so much outward looking, which I had been for the time that I just described, but inward looking, I had a chief of staff role in a large group within that same company. And the main focus of that role really was to transform, I'm just going to say it was a pretty toxic environment, to be honest. Nobody really liked working there, I don't think. I don't think anybody was happy. So that was quite different. It was much more people focused, culture focused role. Difficult, but we did it, and I'm really proud of the amazing job that we did to turn that around. We'll probably come back to it, but I mean, also during that time, I had a few darker personal experiences, which made me start to question my place in that company and whether I wanted to continue. But that's my background.
Amazing. And I want to talk about what you're doing now. Obviously, I want to go into your mission, but just to touch base on where you were and your background, I think this idea of toxic environments is a theme with a lot of entrepreneurs, right? Because we come out of environments that we wanted to shape and that we had a lot of ambition to shape, and that most of us who are very heart-led and empathetic people had success in, as you're saying, but we have this bigger mission where we want to take what we couldn't do fully in that environment, because the environment just didn't foster what we were trying to bring or change, and bring it into something new, right? That's so much of where so many of us are led, is to say, hey, that toxic environment is something I do not want to recreate. I want to help foster environments that aren't like that. I think that's a mission that I have. Like, I want to build leaders and build entrepreneurs who are creating businesses that aren't fostering that type of environment, right? And teaching them how to work around it. I think you have a similar mission, and I think your background is so important to where you are and where you're going, because you are going to start shaping businesses.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I said that we did turn around that toxic environment. We did a great job, and I want to be able to repeat that, but go further, bigger.
So tell us more. Yeah, tell us more about your endeavor and that bigger mission.
Yeah. So my company is called Lisa College Consulting. I went all around the houses with lots of different names, but in the end, it's like, this is if I'm a thought leader, then I should call it Lisa College Consulting. So there we are. As we've just been discussing, I want to work with organizations who have it's a disengaged workforce. Maybe it's gone as far as being toxic. Maybe it just feels like a disconnect between the organization's ambition and where the team is. Maybe they're not motivated or not showing feelings of accountability or whatever, but working with those organizations, and they're probably suffering from difficulties in retaining and finding talent. Maybe their productivity isn't where they want it to be. The innovation's a bit below where they want it to be. Not many new ideas coming in. Customers might not be as happy as they had been in the past. And usually you see that whatever the company's favorite performance metric is just lagging. It's just not where they want it to be to satisfy their ambition. So my mission is to turn that situation around. To make sure that everybody loves working at that company and wants to stay there, and people who don't work there yet want to work there. And the way that people should feel when they work in an organization like that is that they are extremely strongly connected to their organization's mission. They really want to contribute to the organization's goals. And they have an opportunity to contribute their best work in the way that makes sense to them. They deliver their best work in their own way. So in short, I'll deliver an engaged workforce. That's really the short way of saying the mission. I'll talk a little bit as well about the way that I want to do that. And that's all inspired by neurodivergence inclusion. That's a bit of a mouthful and a bit of a new term for some people. So just let me try and explain what that means. Neurodivergence inclusion means that whatever way your brain works, you are able to contribute in an environment that you think is energizing and supportive and positive and fun. People all have different preferences, but regardless, they can contribute. So if we talk about neurodivergent people, that's people who are autistic and dyslexic, people who have ADHD, certainly they are a population of people that we tend to think about when we talk about neurodivergence. But neurodivergence is inclusive. It also includes the 70% of neurotypical people. And really all it means is that everybody's got their own particular neuro style going on in their heads, their own preferences in how they like to take in information and process information and transmit information. And that whatever those preferences are, you should be able to work in an environment which values it and values your output. That makes you connected and engaged. So I bring other skills as well to enable that that engagement. It's not only talk. So I have a lot of experience in change management and influencing and psychology, to name a few. But I want to use them all to bring that neuro-inspired approach to engagement. I believe it's the shortest and most direct route to get there.
So Amazing. I love hearing you talk about what you do. It's so clear, your experience and your grounding in the mission. So you as a business owner, if at some point you're recruiting people, I think it's going to come through that the mission of your organization is also very clear and that people can feel connected to it when eventually you have a workforce, which is going to be an exciting moment. But I want to, because you're focusing right now on your mission and what you do, because we worked through your offer, what is it, just so that it's clear to the audience and maybe there are people that want to work with you, how do you get them there? What's your process to take them from where they are now to where you want them to be or where you think they could be thriving?
Yeah. So so the process is, we'll always start with a diagnosis of the current situation of the culture. And I'll use any evidence that is available to understand what's going on. It could be data from surveys, any kind of surveys or any feedback which employees have given. But I'll also talk to people, make sure that we talk to people who represent major different functions and geographies and seniorities, but talk to people to get a sense of what's going on and to understand things that are not going to be conveyed in surveys as well. So what I'm always doing when I'm like deep diving into this evidence is to understand what's going on and look for, I call them hotspots, right? So look for areas in the company that are going really well. There's always something that's going well. And they are really clear signals which your employees are basically trying to tell you, we want to do more of this. And the outcome of that diagnosis is that I would recommend a strategy with some governance and some metrics to track progress and to look at outcomes, which builds on those hotspots in that company. So it's very, very customized to the current environment and the current culture of that company. If the client would then like to, you know, continue to work with me to implement that that strategy, then we will we'll do that. I'll lead it and I'll involve everybody. I'll ask the client to make sure that the leadership is very clearly involved, modeling the behavior that we want to put in place, but also that the employees themselves are very much engaged. And that's really, really critical to make sure that the changes that you put in place are sustainable. So when I step away, you know, I'm not going to be there forever. When I step away, that everything doesn't just collapse back to how it was. And that when changes come up, whether it's changes from new team members or changes in the competitive environment, whatever those changes are, that everybody is engaged, understands what they're trying to achieve and can adapt the engaged culture to keep accommodating those changes and to make sure that everything stays very positive and a good positive environment where people want to work. Different stages.
It's important. It's really important work that you're bringing forward. And I think that knowing my audience, they're going to be very surprised that you just launched this idea 3 months ago and that there was any doubt in your mind that you would be here able to speak about your business so eloquently and so clearly with so much conviction and knowledge and bringing that experience forward. It's so clear in the way you talk about your business, but it wasn't like that in the beginning. And I think that's an important journey for my audience to also hear that we don't all start out with that level of confidence necessarily, but that we can get there and that there's no doubt. I mean, you're going to listen back to this podcast and you're going to hear it. You're going to hear that you are an entrepreneur and a thought leader. It's so clear. But I want to talk a little bit about where you were when we started this journey only 3 months ago, which is crazy. Yeah. It also feels like it's been so much longer, but where were you at when you came to me?
So that was just before Christmas. So where was I at? So my position at that corporate company I was talking about had been made redundant mid last year. And I had, you know, from what I've said, you probably realize I had quite mixed feelings about it. It was somewhere that I've loved working at. I've worked there for a long time. I have a lot of friends there, met my husband there. So a lot of it's been really positive, but I alluded to these darker, more recent darker experiences as well, which made me start to doubt really whether I wanted to continue there. So at the same time as all that was going on, I became a mum, which was wonderful, very much desired. Didn't know if it would work out because I'm an old mum, but it did. And it was fantastic, but you know, it takes some adjustment. And especially what takes adjustment is working out what on earth is going on when your youngest kid is clearly not developing in a typical way. So I went on this crazy journey to try and work out what is going on. I did all kinds of activity, worked with all kinds of organization who all gave some insights, but couldn't put a label on things. But eventually worked with a fantastic organization who said he's autistic with learning difficulties. And at that point I said, thank you for the label. Now we can actually do something targeted to help him. And it was incredible to see that small things that he did helped him. But what I also found at that point was that our family, the direct family and the wider family, needed quite a lot of support from me. They were at a different place from me. You know, I'd been really involved in working on this with him, and I was in there and I was just ready for the label. But most other people were not. They were really at the beginning of the process, and they needed some help and time to accept and to grieve, honestly. And because I was kind of so ahead of the curve, I provided that support. So that took a lot out of me personally at that time, at the same time that I was going through that darker stuff at work. But what I found from that time is that, you know, as always happens, the universe gives you this amazing opportunity when you're a bit in shit. And the amazing opportunity for me was the introduction by a very dear colleague to the disability inclusion ERG at the company, which I joined after a while and participated in and ended up leading. Fantastic experience. And not surprisingly, since my son's autistic, I pushed on the neurodivergent activities, neurodivergent focused activities that we did in the ERG. And I could not believe the response that I got. Just a number of people in the company who were happy just to be acknowledged or to have a home, kind of a home, a focal point that they could come to, I think, a place of belonging. It was incredible. It was people impacted directly themselves, many who hadn't ever told anybody at the company that they were autistic or dyscalculic or whatever it was, or people with family members, but just an incredible response. I found it a great opportunity to start to learn what you could do to help to make the work environment more engaging place and more enabling place for those people. And I was also able to test it in that position as a leader of the ERG and in my position of chief of staff of that slowly becoming less toxic environment. And what I found was that really committing to behavioral changes, especially if everybody commits to it, leadership and team alike, is transformative for the people who are neurodivergent, which, by the way, is like 30% of everybody's workforce. It's not a tiny amount, it's like 30%. But the coolest thing is it's not only the neurodivergent people who benefit, it's everybody. It's 100% of people. So I talk about change that's inspired by best practices in neuroinclusion, which makes things better for everybody, which is the engagement. So we're back to my mission. So that's where I was. And a couple of years ago, I was laying by swimming pool in Tuscany, and I had this idea for this business. I told my husband about it that evening over a glass of wine, and he didn't laugh at me, at which point I thought, oh shit, I'm going to have to do this. I can't I can't die with the regret of not having tried this, right? So I'm going to have to do it. And really, that's kind of where I was when we started working together. Yes, my position had been made redundant. I had these mixed feelings. But it was also an incredible gift because now I had the opportunity to do this thing, to really put all my attention and invest all my time into making this idea a reality. So I knew that I wanted to do it. I'd made a decision to try it. I had lots of plans. I'd had a decent go at positioning, but I hadn't really tried talking about it to anybody. I was moving very slowly. And then enter Jamie.
Thank you so much for sharing your story, because it's such a
long story. Thanks for listening.
No, it's amazing, because I think it's such an important reason why you landed where you landed. But I think that there's also so many layers of important nuggets in your story, because number one, the way you talk about it is, I was in shit. And a lot of people, when things happen like that, especially circumstantial situations that you can't control, right? Something happens in your life, and we all have our ways of processing those things that happen, and the grief and the shifts that have to happen. And it's really easy for a lot of people to go into isolation in those moments, to take that grief and to just take it somewhere where they don't have to bring it forward. They can maybe shove it down, pretend like it's not there. Everyone has a different way of processing those moments. Mm-hmm. But what I love about your story is that you're like, I was in the shit. Things were awful. And here's what I did. I went out and like built community. You know, I started having ideas and I wasn't quiet about them. Like, I was bringing things forward, talking about what was important to me and believing in my path and my journey to say that this story is important. And also, I believe in myself enough to take it to this next place, because that's the other thing that happens. Something bad happens, we go into isolation. We have great ideas, we go into isolation. Sometimes we just don't believe enough in ourselves to say that idea should go forward, actually, right? Like, a lot of times people have ideas, they're like, oh, they just dismiss them. But I love that you're like, I said it out loud. I basically like, I said it to my husband, but I also said it to the universe. I'm putting my stake in the ground here, and I want to take it forward. And so you did that next level engagement piece where you're like, I'm going to get help. So in both situations, you were like, I'm going to look for community. I'm going to look for help instead of going into isolation. It's huge, like amazing lessons in that. I think it's a great lesson for so many people of like, if you need to heal something, you don't have to be alone. And you can also turn it into something that ends up being hugely beneficial and positive for not just you and your family, but also for other people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Huge. Huge. And this is part of the reason I love working with you. Because this is part of the entrepreneur journey too. It is not always easy. There's lots of doubt. There's lots of worry. There's grief, right? There's change. There are things we have to adapt to. And when you're already the kind of person who has been through a journey like that, even if it's not an entrepreneur journey, but you've been on a journey like that through your life, and you hit these roadblocks and you have some tools to get through them, this journey of entrepreneurship is going to be familiar to you. You're going to know when you hit a roadblock and recognize how you need to get over it. So I think that you're so well poised for this, for being, you know, putting your stake in the ground as an entrepreneur. But when you came to me, you obviously had this idea, you had this mission in mind. What were you hoping would happen through coaching? What surprised you also, like, through the journey of working with a coach on this?
I'm not quite sure if this is what you want to hear on your podcast, but quite honestly, I wasn't sure what to expect. I was quite skeptical. I think I told you when we had our intake. I mean, the reason that I got in touch with you is because I asked a a friend who I made at the stables. Our daughters ride horses there every Saturday, and he's a very successful entrepreneur. And on the Saturdays, he would talk about his business sometimes, and I would talk about my ambition. And I asked him one Saturday, you know, what advice would you have given yourself when you started off in your business if you could have done? And he said, I would tell myself to find an entrepreneurial coach. To which I said, what is an entrepreneurial coach? I never heard of such a thing. I was a bit skeptical, but I thought, well, you know, you asked for the advice, so you should at least consider it. So I decided to ask Uncle Google. And I asked Uncle Google and find out a bit more. And I looked at like 15 or 20 websites of entrepreneurial coaches. I did my due diligence, but it was quite obvious as soon as I saw your website that I was going to approach you and work with you. It was really quite clear to me. It felt like a good match before I'd even talked to you. I really didn't know what I could expect in only 3 months with you, to be honest. Because I mean, in my corporate head, that's my experience. 3 months is not that long to launch something. That would be enough time to do, you know, an extensive survey of people all over the world to find out their willingness to buy and all this kind of thing. I wasn't really sure. I think when we did the intake, I said I'd like to build up confidence in my idea and find some evidence for myself that I'm not crazy and not wasting my time. But actually, right from the beginning, you pushed me. Once you almost pushed me too far, but it wasn't too far. It was just okay. But you pushed me and you said in the intake, you said, no, at the end of this quarter, you're going to be networking with people who could be your first client. And once I stopped feeling sick, I said, sure, okay, that's that's got to be the goal. And I am. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It is. It's amazing what you can do in 3 months. And I think I know that this journey really takes 6 months and sometimes it takes a year. I know that. And I think you knew that too. And that's why we're continuing to work together. But I also like 3 months as just this jumping off point, because sometimes people, when they're skeptical about working with a coach, it's like 6 months. I don't think I can commit to six. That's a long time to commit to this relationship, because we're coworkers essentially, right? And so you're entering into this like co-working situation with someone that you don't have a relationship with yet. I don't want people to feel that pressure either, but it's also like, to me, always incredible if people are focused and ready for this, how much you can do in 3 months. Yeah. I think it's also good for your brain to realize that, wow, you can do a lot.
You can get a lot done. I mean, I think if I'd signed up for, I am going for another 3 months, so it is a 6 month commitment. But I think if we'd said that in the beginning, I also wouldn't have felt the urgency, which not everybody needs it, but for me, I needed a bit of a kick to kickstart, a bit of a sense of urgency. So that quite short 3 month period was good for that. But yeah, I mean, I did have a plan. You know, I'm a good planner. I'm a good executor. I probably would have got to this point on my own, but it would have just taken ages and I would have done a lot of stuff which I didn't need to do. So I mean, that's one of the big themes of what I'm learning with you, is just how to accelerate and how to cut out stuff that you don't need to do when you're working on your own and you're not working in a corporate environment where you need to prove things to lots of other people and get buy-in and stuff. I'm just me on my own. And remember once you said to me near the beginning, like, you know, if you think that the way that you're doing something isn't quite right and you want to improve it, then just do it. You know, you only need to convince yourself. And I was like, oh, but you're right. I was just with this corporate mindset. I never thought about it. Stuff like that has really allowed me to accelerate. And I'm learning the difference between an entrepreneurial mindset and a corporate mindset. Right. Yeah, it's a very, very interesting difference. I'm happy
very different.
Learning to navigate between the two. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there are a lot of traps. I think the reason why it feels like you're moving faster is because there are places where our brain wants to take us which are just distractions. And we use that word a lot in our sessions, that sometimes it's like, wait, I'm going over here. Is that really useful? Or am I doing that to buffer away from something I'm afraid to do? And so many people, especially at the start of this journey, end up doing that, like taking lots of courses and things that feel really productive, like I'm learning, I'm doing research. And yes, some of that is valuable and you don't want to cut it all out. But sometimes it's good also to have somebody to recalibrate with, like, does this feel like it's on the right path? Or am I just fooling myself and I'm just distracting myself with what feels productive, but it's taking me really away from what my goal is?
Or another example is, you know, I like reading, I like doing research and making connections between different kinds of information. And I had done a lot of that last year before we started working together. And you said to me, you know, you absolutely need to continue to do that as a CEO. But for now, it's enough. Like, pause, don't stop, just pause it and turn your focus to something else, and you're going to come back to it later. So that was also a way that was very acceptable to me. It's like, you know, it is important what I'm doing. I'm good at it. I want to keep doing it. But I just need to turn my attention to something else for now, and I'll come back to it. Sometimes it's pausing and pulling something else in for a month and then reactivating that thing that you were doing before, which you're helping me to see. You don't have to do everything at once.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And what do you feel like are the biggest wins you've had on this journey? Because sometimes we know we're on the right path because doors start to open or we start to see opportunities. Is there anything that's been happening since we started working together where you're like, oh yeah, that's a reminder that I'm going in the right direction?
Oh yeah. a couple of things come to mind. So the first one is that I actually enjoy working again. I enjoy it.
I love that. Not every day, but
many, many days. I remember, right, what it's like to build something that you care about, that you're passionate about. I've done it before in the past when I talked about that startup venture within the big corporate and a couple of other examples as well. But I haven't done it for a long time. And now it's like my body and my brain is remembering what it feels like to do this. And it's kind of reactivating these feelings and these memories and these skills. And the bravery that you need to do it as well. So that's one really big win for me, is just the feeling. And the other is all the connections that I'm making now that I'm starting to network. This is great. And there's one in particular which I'll mention, which is a connection with someone who's in a similar situation to me. We were good colleagues and we've become good friends through this whole process. And we, you know, we check in with each other and we help each other out and we encourage each other. We keep each other moving when we're both shaking in our shoes. And it's great for me to see that, you know, just as he is for me, that I am able to share something that he values and that helps him. And then I think, oh, I'm learning stuff, you know, I'm doing stuff. I have something of value to offer. And that gives me confidence as well to keep going. So yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying it again.
Yes.
And I'm building my confidence in being able to, yeah, help him and other people as well. So that's great.
That's so important. And that's where you get longevity in the business too, right? Because you know you're learning. So instead of seeing things that maybe aren't working that well tactically, or maybe you tried something and it didn't work out the way you expected, you always know, you have that idea, like, I'm learning and I have something to offer. And now I've learned and I can share this with colleagues, or I can share it with a community, which is your way, right? That's what you do. When you learn something, you're like, well, you don't have to make the same mistake here. Nope. Here's the information.
As long as you learn, it's fine. I mean, maybe something doesn't turn out as you hoped or expected, then, but, you know, fine. Just learn something from it and move on. No, definitely things don't all go as I think. But you can usually take something from it to help you next time or help somebody else.
Yeah. And I love the feeling that you're talking about too, this reinvigoration of enjoying work again, because I think that's something that scares people, even if they start a business while they're still working at a job that maybe is not the job they feel is the right fit for them. I think they're scared sometimes to make that leap because they're tired or they feel burned out or they feel fatigued. Yeah. And what they don't realize is there's actually a lot of energy to be gained from the new project.
Yeah.
And I think that stops people because they feel tired, but you're a great example of, I started getting reinvigorated and I was feeling passionate about my work again. That's the beauty.
I think it must be hard to make that step on your own. You know, I've been thinking about it for a couple of years, like what will it take for me to step out and start this idea that I had? But I'm lucky, my position was made redundant. So then the decision's made for you. Yeah, in a way that was really a great piece of luck that I had. But yeah, it's hard when you're tired and you're not sure and you can't quite believe that your work's going to give you energy again. But well, if this helps somebody, then I'm happy.
Yeah, it's amazing. And obviously people know my story too. Same thing, right? I was laid off during COVID and I thought, well, this is the moment. I can't let this moment go. I mean, this is obviously a push because it was hard for me to consider leaving. But I knew I needed to. It was hard to make that leap. And I had made it in the past. I had done that before. But at this particular moment, right, every stage in your life is different. I had kids that were older. I felt more financial pressure, things like that. But the layoff was like a gift. It was such a gift. It's not always a gift for everyone. It doesn't always come at the right time for everyone. But I think for you and I, we really took that opportunity and said, we're going to turn this into something that we need, right? Like we're going to take this opportunity and not just go into scarcity and start haphazardly applying for jobs. Like let's take this moment and see what's possible, which is brave, which is the word you used. It's so brave.
It is. Look at that. I kind of feel like I'm back again, getting back to myself again after all of these years of struggle and strife. But hey, here we are, reemerging.
Yes. So what advice would you give yourself 6 months ago? So when you were still in the job and you were considering leaving, now that you're on the other side of it, and maybe, you know, 6 months ago, I don't remember, you were still working, right? You hadn't been laid off yet 6 months ago, or had you been?
No, I was still employed, but not working.
Okay.
I did give myself advice at that point, and I'm happy with the advice I gave myself, which was you are going to give this business your best shot, right? You are going to try. You're not going to wimp out, and you will not die regretting that you didn't try this. I've gone through my life aiming not to have regrets about stuff, and I thought, I'm not going to start now. So I told myself, this is your chance. You know, is it a redundancy package? Have a financial buffer? Just use it. Take the chance. Go for it. So I'm quite proud of that, and I'm resisting beating myself up about saying, you know, oh, I should have contacted Jamie earlier, or I should have started networking earlier, or because I know in my heart that I needed the time to process those mixed feelings that I talked about. And I needed a couple of months off. I was tired, just tired, weary. So I just needed a couple of months to do nothing and empty my head to be able to come at this fresh and relatively energized. That's something I did really well, and I wouldn't change the advice I gave myself.
That's great. And I think it's an important point too, the idea that things happen when they're supposed to happen. There's no should, right? And I think even in midlife, when people are in a career change, sometimes they start thinking, well, I should have done this so much earlier. Why didn't I do it earlier? I have a lot of clients who are in, you know, a phase of their career where they feel like, oh, if only I had done this 10 years earlier, I would be this much farther. And the truth is, no, you wouldn't, because you needed those extra 10 years in your career to build the skills that you're taking with you on this journey. So all the shoulds and the time frames, you're absolutely right. Like you needed the time, you needed the processing time, you wouldn't have been ready. You wouldn't have had the accelerated, you know, kind of experience that you've had because you wouldn't have been ready for it.
No, I wasn't ready.
Yeah. And so I think that's a good reminder for everyone too. Slowing down is not bad. When you get an idea, you don't have to ramp up and go 90 kilometers an hour, 90 miles an hour to get to the finish line. You have to also recognize that you're entering a new journey. You're entering a new phase. It's just like change management in an organization. It doesn't happen overnight. There's emotions, there's transformation that needs to happen and steps that need to be taken. And you even said, like, believing that it might take some time, and that's okay. It's okay. However much time it needs to take is exactly how it needs to unfold.
Yep.
Great reminders. Amazing. Lisa, I love talking to you. Like I said, I'm so happy we're continuing to work together because you are an inspiration.
Thank you so much.
Amazing. And there is going to be an abundance of clients that you help, that you support, employees that you support. It's going to make a huge difference in many lives, you launching this business. So the mission is clear and important. And that's a great reason to stick with it through the ups and downs. So will you tell people, I know you're in the middle of getting your website up, which is so exciting. And maybe if people listen to this later, it will already be up. So we can still put a link in the show notes for when it's ready. But in the meantime, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you if they're interested in learning more about your offer?
LinkedIn seems to be the center of my business universe at the moment until my website is launched, which is probably going to be early May. Please connect with me on LinkedIn if you'd like to have a chat, and I will accept your connection, and then we can get to know each other.
Oh, that's great. So I'll put your LinkedIn link also in the show notes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. It's been so great. I really appreciate you being here and talking through your story and giving people an insight into how the journey's been for you. So thanks again.
Thanks for the invitation, Jamie. Most welcome.
You've been listening to Business for Humans. Don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And please leave a review so that other business owners can find the show. Learn more at practica.consulting.